Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. I hope everyone is, oh, and maybe a Twisted Mister or two. We just never know. I knew I was forgetting something. Hope everyone's having a great week, and I hope you all have a better week to follow. Hey, Pam, how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing great. The weather's nice and cool. You know, life is good, and looking forward to tonight's poetry. How about yourself?
Well, I'm hanging in there. Same old, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So tell us about the prompts for tonight. Tell us all about them.
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm very excited for tonight's prompt and the poetry inspired by it. Before I get on to the prompt, though, I did want to mention a little bit about the song, the intro song, only because it's in a different language. I wanted people to hear a few of the lines from the song and in English, and so it's, they see how connected it is with the prompt. It's actually from the group Otakin, which is an indigenous East Siberian music group, and they sing in the languages of Caucasus, Cholium, and Russian. Two out of three of those, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing right. And the lines I wanted people to hear were, "We're leaving, we're the last ones. We are going to the bright sky. Every place on earth matters. Sing our song and remember us." And I thought that fit very well with the chosen topic, which, as I said, is the photography of Jimmy Nelson. And his he mainly focuses on indigenous tribes around the world, is what he's best known for, and I really like his photography. In fact, I originally downloaded 77 of his photographs used as prompts and cut it back to 35. Now, Jimmy Nelson was born in England, spent his childhood in Africa, Asia, and South America. At age 17, he left boarding school and trekked the length of Tibet and by foot. I took pictures while he was on that trip, which got published in National Geographic. After that, up until the age of 24, he traveled and documented a variety of war zones, including Afghanistan, Kashmir, and Yugoslavia. Let's see here. His first book was Literary Portraits of China. In 2010, he started his work on his second book, Before They Disappear. And for that, he traveled for 3 years and photographed more than 35 indigenous tribes in Europe, Asia, Africa, South America, and the South Pacific using a 50-year-old camera. His third book is called Homage to Humanity and consists of 400 photographs of 30 indigenous cultures around the world. I highly recommend that if people get a chance, they check out his photography. They also should check out his TED Talks on YouTube. He talks about his photography style and working with the different indigenous people. Also, one last thing to mention about him, he's the founder of the Jimmy Nelson Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization that was founded in 2016 and facilitates projects that promote the heritage of indigenous cultures. And so I'm just, like I said, I'm looking forward to tonight's show and delving into the poetry and cool stuff.
Very good. Very good. And just so you know, we have Thomas B. is joining us. Hey, Thomas, how are you tonight?
I'm good.
Hi, Tom. I'm glad you could be here.
Yep.
And happy almost birthday.
Absolutely.
And look at that. Thomas is going on a wine tour. That sounds like a nice, doesn't that sound like a nice way to celebrate your birthday?
It does.
It was last year.
All right. So we'll go ahead. We won't keep you too long, Tom, but we'll go ahead, of course, and put you to work a little bit and then get to your poem. All right. Up first is our classic intro poem, which is "I Dream a World" by Langston Hughes. And Tom, would you read that for us, please?
I'm getting sent off to the file not found zone. Can you repost it? Because I don't think I got a whole...
Oh, sure. Did I not post in Late Night Poets? I thought I did.
I dream a world.
All right. You might have to just refresh your page. But, got it? Okay.
It's fighting me. Let's go back. Then come forward. And then try. Okay, here we go. Meet again. You're still sending me the file not found. I lost my marbles. And, don't seem to text it for you.
I'm sorry, Tom. I'm having the hardest time understanding you. It's okay. I'll go ahead and read the poem.
And there's actually an audio to that poem on the page, so I can put that on if you want.
Oh. Okay. Well, yeah. If you want. I'm not sure if you did the audio.
Well, I think it shows it on there.
But it's available. It's on there, so.
Correct. Okay,
yeah.
Let me put that in. I'm going to upload that. I'm going to answer this next phone call.
All right.
909. Who's calling, please?
Hey, sorry. What was that?
909. Who's calling, please?
Hey, it's Sucker for the Treadmill. Good to be hanging with you guys.
Hey, Sucker. Glad you could
Hi.
Be here. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing okay.
Good, good. And I am just waiting for the Phil's going to be nice enough to put a SoundCloud in for us for the intro poem that we can play that. So, did you get a
Great.
Chance to check? Have you ever seen the photography of Jimmy Nelson?
I looked it up. I looked it up after you said his name. Really beautiful pictures.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree. For sure. For sure. And, yep. And
are we ready?
Let's see. Ready? Oh, are we ready?
Yeah. Are we?
Yep, I am.
Okay. This is I Dream a World by Langston Hughes, as read by Anton Jarvis. So, here we go. Now, that's if I can find the darn thing again. Here we go.
I Dream a World by Langston Hughes. I dream a world where man, no other man, will scorn, where love will bless the earth, and peace its paths adorn. I dream a world where all will know sweet freedom's way, where greed no longer saps the soul, nor avarice blights our day. A world I dream where black or white, whatever race you be, will share the bounties of the earth, and every man is free. Where wretchedness will hang its head, and joy, like a pearl, attends the needs of all mankind. Of such I dream my world.
What a wonderful read of that beautiful classic poem. I'm so glad, Jean, that you did put that SoundCloud up. Thank you. I've always enjoyed and appreciated Langston Hughes' poetry and the voice that he puts in it. For all cultures, for all people. And there's such a strong sense of longing for freedom and equality. And this, of course, has, like much of his poetry, a beautiful rhyme and flow. I particularly liked A World I Dream Where Black or White Will, Whatever Race You Be, Will Share the Bounties of the Earth and Every Man is Free. And Tom, your thoughts on this classic poem?
Well, first of all, I'm a massive fan of Langston Hughes. His ability to work with a classic form and still have the lyricism and styling of an Afro-American poet and marry the two so beautifully, it's just a gift. I really am. He's a great influence on my own writing. This is a stunning piece by him. It has such a wonderful lyricism, a real simplicity of language, but it never stops and becomes trite, cliched, or plain, but always in its simplicity takes you one step further into thoughts about what a world should be like than you might have gone before. A really beautiful piece.
Absolutely. Well said there. And Sucker, your thoughts on that classic poem?
I'm really drawn to the dream in the first line and the last line and Pearl, because it makes it seem kind of like a rare thing that this might actually happen. It almost feels like a fantasy or a dream to me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Uh-huh. Great comment. And
it makes it kind of sad instead of inspiring.
You're right. There is a certain sadness to it. I see it as both sad and inspiring myself, but that's the good thing about poetry is you can see it in different ways. And in a poem like this with such deep issues, you know, you can see the sense of hope in it, but you can also see the sense of despair. So, absolutely. And Jean, your thoughts on this classic poem?
Well, you know, I think this was an excellent choice to start off the show tonight. I think that it speaks to the images that you've put up. And, you know, I think that there's a touch of sadness, but there's also that hope that things will change and be what he dreams and hopes they will be. So I think that was so well said by Langston Hughes. Just a great job. Great choice.
Thank you. And, yes, absolutely, I agree. So, very cool. All right. And moving on, we have Cultural Smorgasbord by S. Sharp. And Tom, would you give that a read for us, please?
Okay, here we go. Cultural Smorgasbord by S. Sharp. Pictures intrigue, but do not tell the story. My thumb on the page's edge lets them flash before my eyes. Photo, cultural phenomena, people from across the globe, colors and paints, feathers and beads, so different. Bird headwear, flowered headdresses, painted masks, painted bodies. So different. Traditions, beliefs, customs, religions. So different, with one thing in common. Their eyes say, I am human like you. I matter. End of poem.
Great read there, Tom, and I really liked this poem. I liked how he was inspired by all the prompts and the general theme, and I really liked the word smorgasbord. And, of course, I'll comment more, but first I want to get other people's thoughts. So, Sucker, let's start with your thoughts.
me?
Yes, please.
I'm having a little bit of trouble connecting with this one. I really like it, but it's hard to verbalize how it makes me feel. Photos in the third stanza, kind of like translating into ideas, is confusing for me. I don't know. I don't really have a river to go down this one.
Oh, no worries. No worries. Okay. And Jean, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I thought this was an excellent write by Scott. I think that it was a wonderful reflection of tonight's topic in general. You know, he reached out and he touched base on so many of the images that I saw. And I think that he just did a great job. And I very much enjoyed it. So great job, Scott, and thank you so much for sharing with us tonight. Perfect reflection there. Nice work.
Absolutely. I have to agree. And Tom, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Well, it reminds me a way of flipping through the pages of National Geographic. But he does a great job of speaking to the ways that when you're looking at another culture, you're caught by all the little things they do that are different from what we do, all the things they do that make them unique. And I like how he ends. I really like how he ends. There's one thing in common, because that's what speaks to the humanity of all of us and how all the customs, traditions, agreements are unique and special. But they matter most of all because it's another way for human beings to show up in this universe, because we're all human. We all matter. I just thought it was beautiful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, I have to agree. You know, I was just thrilled that Scott and at least one other were inspired by all the prompts and the general theme of humanity seen within the photographs. I really like how he takes us on a journey of his own thoughts where before his eyes he sees the photos. I really like the imagery, use of imagery in this, cultural phenomenon, people from across the globe, colors and paints, feathers and beads, so different. And I like the repetitiveness of so different between the stanzas, reminding us of the differences, you know, in all the cultures. But like you, Tom, I really liked that ending. That it wrapped up so nicely. Their eyes say, "I'm human, like you. I matter." You know, just a powerful write, great reflection of tonight. As Phil said, great reflection of tonight's theme, and very well done. All right, I am going to put up the next poem, which will be Chasing Dragons by Betty Page. And Jean, will you give that a read for us, please?
Sure. Chasing Dragons by Betty Page. So defeat you all, wandering through opium dens, chasing fine dragons. In darkness, heartless, hell-bent, determined pursuit coming after you. Getting really high, mesmerized, so spiritual, feminine shaman, one with Mother Earth, pomegranate, cherry lips, face of an angel. Warrior spirit, dancing neath vivid full moons, chanting her love song. Hypnotizing all, dragons at her beck and call, high in blue mountains, sacred ancient love, caressing sweetly, lovers smoking opium. And
wonderful read there, Jean, and a great write by Betty Page. And Tom, your thoughts on Betty's poem?
Well, I really like the pictures she chose. There's one that I looked at, and I just couldn't quite see how to speak to it. And she does a beautiful job of this, really speaking to the strengths, the vibrancy, the myths, the history, all the things that are there in the woman. I love that getting really high, mesmerized, so spiritual, feminine, shaman. And she just carries it forward and builds it, so you have this really sense of strength and history and magic. And I like how she does it. Hypnotizing all, driving at her beck and call, high in Blue Mountains. Beautifully done. A great delight.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're right. There is a strength and a spirituality within this. So, excellent comment. And Sucker, your thoughts on this poem?
Sorry, 1 second. A little mouse problem. It seems to me that it's more like, chasing the dragon is like a heroin reference to the first high you get. And I always think about that with poetry, like when you write your first good poem and people praise it, you're always chasing that. And it distorts your point of reference just like heroin does in your natural life. I don't know.
No, I totally get, I thought the same thing because, yeah, I did know that chasing the dragon was a reference to doing heroin. And obviously there is mention of doing drugs in here because there's mention of smoking, the last line is smoking opium. And so that is in there. And you do see that within this poem. For sure. But I think she put enough in here to add more layers to it.
Okay.
Yeah, great observation there. And Jean, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
I think that this was another great piece by Betty. She always comes in from a whole different direction on most of our prompts, and I find that to always be intriguing. She starts out in the very first stanza, wandering through opium dens, chasing fine dragons. So, I mean, that's where she starts this off. So it only comes to my thought that that's the way she would end it up, and I think that she did it nicely. I think she kind of hit on things all the way through. You know, one with Mother Earth, pomegranate cherry lips, and the face of an angel. That was a lovely description of the person. And this is a wonderful image that she chose, you know, because the image is both beautiful and it has that look about the seriousness of the face itself. And I found that to be interesting. I love the warrior spirit dancing these vivid full moons, chanting her love songs. She really fit the image in a lot of different ways. So nice work, Betty, and thanks for sharing.
Absolutely. You know, I have to agree with you. That was one of the images I absolutely wanted to make sure to keep in the contest, and I'm glad Betty wrote to it. And there is a seriousness. There also, I think, is kind of a sense of pride within the holding of the shoulders and the way she looks. I like how Betty, with these short, impactful lines and use of imagery, takes us through a story of a woman and says so much about her, not only to describe her physically with her pomegranate cherry lips, but to mention that she has that warrior spirit. She is one with Mother Earth. I really like warrior spirit dancing in these vivid full moons, chanting her love song, hypnotizing all dragons at her beck and call, high in blue mountains. It's a wonderful combination of reality and mythology woven together, but it was beautifully written and very well done. And let me make sure I'm grabbing the next poem. And all right, when I get the next poem in Late Night Poets, Sucker, it is going to be for you to read. And it is A Time Capsule by a Physical Path by Time Teller. And go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
A Time Capsule by a Psychopath. Before this was another, no longer visible, usurped and wiped. ROM, RAM, crystal, optics cleaned, lost. So vast is this. No one will find where they parked their car, section A or B, forgotten. Saw, hammer, nails, build a little world within the eternity of expansion. There will always be another universe. In it, place my favorite things and memories of my travels. Leave my mark, so at gunpoint I forced them in, the family I stayed with. My favorite possessions picked up on my travels. Be sure to tell the future all about me.
Wonderful read there, Sucker. And Tom, let's start with your thoughts on this poem.
Well, the title is definitely a chance for a moment as you stopping and thinking about it for a second, Time Capsule by a Psychopath. And he plays, I really like the way that Time Teller plays, the sense that there might be multiple realities, multiple universes, and compares them in a way to a huge parking lot where you're not sure where you parked your car. I remember once going, Dad came back from college. My parents had bought a new car. I hopped in it and drove off to Tyson's Corners, which was a huge mall. Parked the car, ran in, bought Christmas presents, came out, couldn't remember what the car looked like. And did want to call my father, who wouldn't have taken kindly if I asked him, can you describe the car? Because I can't remember it and I can't find it. And he catches a lot of that. And the idea of what are we creating here? Saw, hammer, nails, build a little world within the eternity of expansion. You know, how do we create this? How do we make this? And how at the same time do we maintain a sense of the things that are important to us, the family, most of all? I like this. It's very clever. It plays very well with the whole.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. I thought this was a great observation there, Tom. I thought this was an intriguing write. It was a bit different than I would have expected for the prompts, and yet I think it makes a great point about, you know, how oftentimes, you know, people do things for selfish reasons. I like how he puts the word forgotten by itself. Saw, hammer, nails, build a little world with the eternity of expansion. There will always be another universe. In it, place my favorite things and memories of my travels, leave my mark. There's a real sense of violence within this, a sense of somebody who doesn't really care about anyone except their self and their image. So definitely, like I said, intriguing, thought-provoking, and strong phrasing. So very well done. And Jean, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I also thought it was an interesting piece, a really unusual take on the chosen prompt that I could see. I must be missing the underlying message here, and that's not unusual for me. But I think that it was a good write. It really was. I just can't sink it in with the prompts too well. But nice work, Time Teller.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yes, I have to agree. And you did a wonderful read of that. Sucker, your thoughts on this poem?
I'd like to pass on this one, please.
Sure. No problem. All right. And up next, we have When Time Began by Thomas B. And gee, I wonder who's going to read that one. Oh, hey, how about you, Tom?
We'll call him in. Somebody with a deep voice understand all this. When time began. When time was beginning and the world was a desert, weather walked with the sun and moon upon the blank carpet of world's first taste of footprints. They discussed how to release the hounds of time, floods of rain, the seeds of humanity. Nothing soothes one's spirits as nicely as the sands of time before they begin their fall, allowed the sun. The moon held her peace, thinking how lovely it would be when tides came crashing across beaches and sinking their teeth into the sands. Weather turned to both her comrades as they moved forward in consultation. Shall we begin in feast or famine? I can drape the world in clouds, allow the thunder to rage, pour forth enough to bring the sea to the edge of continents. Then, when bones begin to creak, let the clouds part, and as the sun rises, the moon can claim control of the sea. Ever the peacemaker, she waited for the pride of her companions to yield to the idea of finally beginning a universe. By Tom B.
Great, great read and write there, Tom. Just absolutely a stunning take on the chosen prompt. And Jean, your thoughts?
Yeah, Tom, this is a fabulous piece. I mean, you definitely nailed it just from that first stanza alone. Because when I look at that image, I can see what you're speaking of. Like, detail-wise, I think that you did a fabulous job with that. And it doesn't get any worse from there down. I mean, it just gets better. You know, nothing soothes one's spirit as nicely as the sands of time before they begin their fall. Allowed the sun, the moon, held her peace, thinking how lovely it would be when tides came crashing upon the beaches and sinking your teeth into the sand. This is just wonderful writing, you know, all the way through. I mean, there's not a bad section to it. There's not a line that I would change for anything. It's just fabulous. And thanks for sharing this with us, for sure. Excellent work.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Great comment, and I definitely have to agree. And Sucker, your thoughts on this poem?
This poem is sort of making me kind of emotional. I don't really want to talk about them tonight. I just want to listen and learn.
Well, you know, I do understand. And that's the wonderful thing about poetry is sometimes it will just hit us hard emotionally. Tom, I think this is a stunning write all the way through. I like how you brought into it that element of mythology, the personification and the communication between the sun and the moon and what they both want. It has a wonderful feel almost of like not quite a creation story, but a just at the beginning of time story. And this is wonderful all the way through. And I like the part where it says, weather turned to both her comrades as they moved forward in consultation. Shall we begin in feast of famine? I can drape the world in clouds, allow the thunder to rage, pour forth enough to bring the seas to the edge of continents. Then when bones begin to creak, let the clouds part, and as the sun rises, the moon can claim control of the sea. I like that the fate of mankind stands on that one moment of decision. You know, this is amazing imagery and metaphors all the way through, and very well done. And was there anything that you wanted to say about your right, Thomas?
Well, I when I first saw this picture, I knew I wanted to write on it, and I wrote a couple of poems that went in completely different directions before this, but they didn't. They wandered. I don't know how to put it. They, you know, too many tangents. And all of a sudden, I was looking at their headdresses, and it just struck me. You know, you had weather, the moon, and the sun, and you look at the footprint. It's like it just started in this picture, and they didn't exist before, and everything else just filled in.
Absolutely. Cool. I like that. Well, I'm so glad you were inspired, and happy almost birthday. Make sure to have a sip of Merlot and for me tomorrow. In fact, you know what? It's your birthday. I'll have a glass of Merlot for you tomorrow.
It'll be even better. I'm going to look forward, and we're going to enjoy that.
So, absolutely.
Well, Tom, if you remember not to drive, I'll have a glass for you, too. So we'll all put a couple glasses together, but you can't drive.
Yeah, this would be one of the few times I've driver. But
yeah.
We're also taking along a friend who is the only person I've ever known who has the same birthday as mine. She's born on August.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, we're going to go celebrate, and we've been friends for ages. So this should be a lot of fun. My wife, Dana, me, and, you know, and the countryside. There's a lot.
Nice.
There's an amazing winery here in Virginia. It just is mind-boggling.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
very cool. All right. Well,
off to bed. Nightfall.
Okay, Tom. Take it easy.
All right. Up next, we have A Noble Savage Meets True Nobility by Eric Svensson. And we have a SoundCloud for that, so whenever you're ready.
Okay. A Noble Savage Meets True Nobility. Met gold, frankincense, and myrrh, interning wisdom with resident pearl, pleated desert sands curdled wisdom within a vast virginal kingdom. Three wise women walked and talked, spoke words of wisdom in foreign tongue. Zephyrs skipped along while sylphs sang, red ochre nobility blended in, complemented scalloped landscape, created by a supreme being named Kalunga. As time dawned, gold, frankincense, and myrrh walked due west, sang their ancestral creation songs. By sunset, they would partake in their clan's sacred fire ritual. Supreme Being Kalunga created the first man and woman. Primordial Adam and Eve birthed a daughter and two sons. Through their daughter, the red Uvambo people came to be, fearless desert dwellers cloaking their skin with red ochre. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh voices echoed along curdled sand drifts, scorpions, desert vipers, and hyenas followed their spoors. Oryx, hemspuck, zebra, and elephants gathered in the west, formed a vast amphitheater for the sacred fire celebration. A wabi-sabi Westerner observed such tenacity in the Namib Desert. Salt of the Earth Desert Tribe harmoniously tuned with Mother Earth. He saw them garner sustenance from a vast reservoir of faith. The sun did not smite them by day, nor the moon in chilly desert nights. End poem.
Wonderful read and write there, Eric. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And just a friendly reminder, everyone, if you're unable to call in, the next best thing is to make a recording of your poem, and that way we get to hear your poetry in your voice. It's always interesting to me to see people, two different people write to the same prompt and the ideas that come from it. I love his use of imagery and metaphors in here. I like that he changed brought in different cultures, like the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, you know, applying to the Jewel Christian stories of the three wise men. But I like that he switches it up and says, three wise women walked and talked, spoke words of wisdom in foreign tongues. Zephyr skipped along while still saying, red ochre nobility blended in, complemented scalloped landscape. And what a beautiful way to describe these women walking and the sand itself. It very much looks like the edge of a scallop. And I like that he brought in, you know, like I said, references to different mythology. He brings up the supreme being Kalunga created the first man and woman, primordial Adam and Eve, birthed a daughter and two sons. And through their daughter, the Red of Ambo, people came to be. I feel like within this poem is a great reflection of the different cultures that are in the continent of Africa. I also thought it was very clever to say a wabi-sabi Westerner observes such tenacity may not be desert, salt of the earth, desert tribe harmoniously tuned in with Mother Earth. Like I said, it's interesting to see the similarities and the differences when people write to similar prompts or the same prompts, you know, and there's definitely that feeling of somebody connect. When you look at this photograph, to me, there's that feeling of the connection to Mother Earth. So just an amazing write that kind of takes us back in time. And I thought this was very well done. And Jean, your thoughts?
You know, I like this piece by Eric. I like the story that he told throughout. I mean, he is a great storyteller. Wonderful reflection of the chosen prompt. And I'm with you, Pam. Like two people, him and Thomas, both picked the same image. And they kind of went two different directions. You know, and I think that's, you know, I always think that's wonderful. Because it's the same with poetry. You know, two people can read the same poem and go two different directions. So the images, it doesn't surprise me that would happen. I found it pretty clever how he took gold, frankincense, and myrrh, the three gifts from the nativity story, and put those into this piece. You know, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, voices echoed along curdled sand drifts. Scorpions, desert vipers, and hyenas followed their spores. Onyx, gemsbok, zebra, and elephants gathered in the west, formed a vast amphitheater for the sacred fire celebration. That there's so much in that one stanza. because, you know, he brings in the animals, he brings in the scorpions and vipers, and, you know, the friendly animals and the dangerous ones and the gems and what have you. I think I thought that was just intriguing how he pulled all that into that just one stanza. There's a lot of wonderful things in all the stanzas, but that one in particular I thought was just chock full of goodness. So, yeah, I think that you did a wonderful job, Eric, and I want to thank you very much. As always, I enjoyed the piece very much. It's a nice job.
Absolutely, and I am glad that you focused in on that stanza because you're right. There is some great references to the life within the desert. So very cool there. And up next, we have The Orientalist Occidentalism by T. Inc. Poem, and it goes like this. I don't know how to look at the photographs of the Orient, beauty of the Orient. It seems like a trip to the colonial past, a vast disappearing sea of difference. The photographer's eye, their lens searches for meaning, but what do we look for? What do we see? Images for a fashion magazine. Easier to look at the Oriental archival in Browning albumen prints. To scrutinize as it used to be. Deep in a museum's vault, the Orientalisms of a manipulative eye, colonial spy, these photographs, the last hooray of the way we of the Occident have won. I asked, does a sphere holder far left now wear a bra, work on a flower farm to supply Walmart with forced blooms, flown around the globe for your sitting room? Are the child's hands now grown, wrapped around a phone in Nairobi, his feet in cheap Nike? Do leopards remain roaming or ocelot cat prowling? Is there a standpipe in the village amongst NGO breeze block huts? Those pots, those spears, I like those. I might have bought one on eBay only yesterday. These people living without harm to the planet, these animists, these water carriers, earth-dried fabric weavers, where are they now? Do they live in a slum or have they drowned, paid with their life's blood to people smugglers, as refugees sunk in a boat off Calais? Tell, where are they today? End poem. And I'm really glad that T. Inc. Poem was inspired. I thought that was a wonderful write. I admit to some confusion about why she wrote so much about the Orient and chose a picture about obviously African people. But, you know, that's just me. And it could have been that she was actually inspired by multiple prompts, and that's just the one she chose. Because I do know she mentions, like, she asks questions about the people in the picture, you know, like, are the child's hands now grown, wrapped around a phone in Nairobi, his feet in cheap Nike? I really like that this poem is filled with so many questions. You know, I can relate to that. The idea of looking at a photograph that was taken even just a few years ago and thinking, you know, where are these people now? Where are these children now? Have they become somebody else's idea of cultured? And so I really like the ending part. I do like, do leopards remain roaming or ocelot cats prowling? Is there a standpipe in the village amongst NGO breeze block huts? These pots, those spears, I like those. You know, the idea of thinking about ourselves but thinking beyond ourselves at the same time and wondering, you know, what is becoming of a world that, you know, it isn't as natural as it used to be. So a wonderful, thought-provoking write and very well done. And Jean, your thoughts.
Well, you know, I mean, you definitely took my thoughts away because I was trying to together the image and the poem in the beginning. And then finally I just said, whatever, let's just roll with it. And then when she started getting into the different actual references to the image, I asked, does the spear holder far left now wear a bra, work on a flower farm to supply Walmart with four spoons flown around the globe for your sitting room? When she started getting into those kind of things, you know, when she mentioned Nairobi, it was like, okay, so maybe it was just, maybe she was expressing how when she looked at the pictures from the Orient, she couldn't really put in, from those prompts. And then when she found this one, maybe the rest came into play. Because I did. I had the same question. I'm going, wait a minute now. But it started heading in that direction, and I think that she started to capture a lot when she went down there. Do they live in a slum, or have they drowned, paid with their lives, blood to people, smugglers, as a refugee sunk in a boat off Calais? Tell, where are they today? I think it was a great piece. I really do. Sam, I'm not too sure here. Hang on a second. She's got the link to my content the week prior to yours under this poem. And then, so I'm not sure. Maybe she just wrote it to that contest and happened to put it in yours, because the link underneath is definitely from the Beauty of the Orient Express. That's interesting.
Oh, okay.
And
it does work for both of them. It's interesting.
Right. So maybe it was just one of those things that just kind of fell together. I think it was beautiful. So it was a great piece. And I want to thank you, Ting, for sharing with us tonight. It was
absolutely
good job.
Well said there. And I'm glad you caught that, Jean. And I think you're right. I think it might have been, and we sometimes we run our contests at the same time, and they're both labeled, they're always labeled Twisted Tuesdays. So,
Right.
I'm surprised we don't have more people getting confused by our contests. I have to agree. I'm so glad you shared with us, and that was wonderful inspiration. Very cool. All right, and up next we have To Be Human by Blue Raven and Sucker. Will you give that a read for us, please?
Sure. Rather bland we are in our natural state, fragile too, lacking speed, claws or fangs, and a weather-resistant hide. But we are a creative species, the inventors of symbols, totems, and talismans, and throughout our history, we've adorned ourselves with meaning. With skill, we've woven and sewn and dyed our garments, beaded and braided our hair, tattooed our bodies with the marks of our clans, and draped ourselves with whatever bones and stones and fetishes we fancy, understanding beauty in an infinity of expression.
Wonderful read there, Sucker, and a beautiful write by Blue Raven. And Jean, your thoughts on this write?
I think these images that were chosen were wonderful images. And I have to say that I thought the piece was very descriptive and nicely done. But I have to pull in a second stanza. But we are a creative species, the inventors of symbols, totems, and talismans. And throughout our history, we've adorned ourselves with meaning. With skulls, we've woven and sewn and dyed our garments, beaded and braided our hair, tattooed our bodies with the marks of our clans. And I could go into the next stanza as well. Pulling one out of here is really difficult for me because I love the cohesiveness of the three of them together. And, I think that it just is very, very nicely done. Just wonderful work.
Oh, I have to agree. I'm a big fan of Blue Raven's work. She has wonderful use of imagery. I like the theme, the general theme of this poem being the idea that humans are, you know, if not for our ways of being, because we are a creative species, as you said, we're able to clothe ourselves, to decorate ourselves, you know, to give our, because we lack those other benefits that other animals have. It really is our use of creativity that gives us that, and I really like that, but we are creative species, the inventors of symbols, totems, and talismans, and throughout our history, we've adorned ourselves with meaning. You know, just wonderful imagery all the way through. I like how she mentions that, you know, it's interesting to me because, you know, I like that she wrote to two different pictures. And actually, this right could have fit well with a few different pictures. It's always been fascinating to me how different cultures find different ways of decorating the hair and the skin and the clothing as representing true beauty of their culture. And I think she's captured that really well throughout this poem. Especially in that second to last stanza that mentions the dyed garments and the beaded and braided hair and the tattoos of the body. So wonderful lines and very well done. And let's see what we have next. All right. Okay, and Tucker, you'd like to comment on this one? Go for it.
To me, it's sort of an expression of the birth of culture and symbolism that kind of ties people into groups. We give ourselves meaning so that we can band together and overcome our lack of all the predatory or defensive mechanisms that other species use. It's like an ode to our intelligence and our craftiness. And I kind of like the with whatever bones and stones. I don't know if that's what they were going for, but it kind of reminds me of funeral practices, like burying people or having a funeral, which is not something that very many other species do.
I like that. I like that. Really great observations there. And yes, you're right. Many cultures do decorate the dead for as a symbolism of respect and, you know, for different variety of reasons. So very cool. All right. And up next we have Family of Man by Captain B2, and we have a SoundCloud for that one, so whenever you're ready, Gene.
Poem, Family of Man. Introduction. Azim, salam, little one, small girl. Did God paint you? Azim, did God paint me? For certain. Small girl, why? Azim, because Allah loves wondrous variety. Poem. We are hominin and all that that implies. Hath not a hominin hands, organs, dimensions, and eyes? Senses, affections, passions, fears, and desires, chilled by the same frostiness, warmed by the same fires, wounded by the same weapons, confined by the same constraints, poisoned by the same pollutants, sufferers from the same complaints, victims to the same villainy, equally injured by wrong. And does not each of us seek shelter, the place where we belong? Do we not quench thirst with water, consume the same food? If you tickle us, do we not laugh? If unhappy, do we not brood? Are we not restored by the same means, the kind and healing touch? And to each, does not loving and being loved mean just as much? We are wondrous varieties, all shapes, colors, sizes, so many lifestyles, cultures, faiths, beliefs, undertakings, enterprises. This planet is our shared home, our solitary ride through space, and the stewardship of Earth and man we should seek to embrace. Yet we should always remain mindful and never fail to see what you do to the least of my brethren, you do to me and thee. And our species must join together as across the ages we span, for we are the children of our world. We're the family of man. End poem.
Great read and write, Bobby. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. I like how she started out her poem with that scene from Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. I always thought, honestly, that was one of the best scenes in that movie. You know, I also, and she was another one that was inspired by all the prompts and the general theme. And, you know, I really liked this all the way through. But I have to say my favorite part was we are wondrous varieties, all shapes, colors, sizes, so many lifestyles, cultures, faiths, beliefs, undertakings, enterprises. This planet is our shared home, our solitary ride through space, and the stewardship of Earth and man we should seek to embrace. You know, I think that's an important part because, to me, the differences of the cultures and is part of the beauty of humanity. And I like that she mentioned stewardship because that's always been something I felt it was very important. I always felt like no matter what your personal beliefs, I think it's important to acknowledge the stewardship, the need to take care of each other, the need to take care of the earth, you know, and so wonderful lines there. I also really liked her title, Family of Man, and how she wrapped it up in the ending. For we are the children of our world. We are the family of man. The idea that we are all connected in some way. So beautifully written and very well done. And Jean, your thoughts. Are you on mute, Jean?
Yes, I was. Wow.
All right.
Now I have to go back and remember the comments that I made. I think that Bobby really nailed this. I think that she gathered all those images and put them together in that collage and proceeded to speak to them all. Because no matter what, we are all the same. You know, we have our differences, but they're minor. They're not worth them. Well, I don't think they're worth fussing about. You know, we all eat, we all sleep, we all bleed, you know. We're really all the same. And that's what's lost in this world. Everybody thinks everybody's so different. But we're really not. They may look a little different. Oh, well. You know, blame it on the position of the sun. Blame it on, you know, different genetics, you know, because of where we were born. But we all are the same. We're all the same under our skin. And that's what the importance of it all. And I think she nailed that really well. Excellent piece. Very nice job, Bobby. Great job. Enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I have to agree. And I have to say amen. Well said there, Jean, because you're absolutely right. You know, there, we have the different genetics, and a lot of it's because of the areas that people live in, you know, darker skin for hotter climates, you know, paler skin and eyes and hair, usually with colder climates. But beneath that, you're right, we're all the same, and there's people do spend too much time nitpicking about the differences when they should be focused on the similarities. So well said there. Yeah. And up next we have Hope by Weaver of Dreams. And we have a SoundCloud for that whenever you're ready, team.
I long to smile and laugh again, but that's a sign of weakness. In my 10 years I've learned, look strong, be strong, or die. I'm not alone on this dire plain. There are more living in poverty, begging for scraps of food each day. We endure, but we cannot thrive. The future stretches far ahead, with no school, no shoes, disease. Still, each morning brings the sunlight, and to each, a ray of hope.
Great job.
Absolutely. Wonderful reading right there, Weaver. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. The picture she wrote to of the little girl who I believe, I don't know if she's Tibetan or like from Tibet for sure, but one of those type of cultures was, I think, chosen more than any other picture, because I know at least 3 to 5 people chose it. And I'm glad she was inspired by it. And Jean, your thoughts on this poem?
You know, I think that this was a wonderful poem. It's the first time I've seen this image, so I have to say I think that she really did nail it very well. You know, I long to smile and laugh again, but that's a sign of weakness. In my 10 years, I've learned to look strong, be strong, or die. You know, the sadness in this piece is really because it's true in some places, some cultures, some areas, some that is scary and is sad, you know, at 10 years old, I mean, really. And I think that in her own way, I mean, Weaver really did hit the nail on the head here. You know, begging for scraps of food each day, we endure, but we cannot thrive. And then that last line, man, that just, it just blows it out of the water. And to each a ray of hope. You know, still each morning it brings the sunlight, and to each a ray of hope. Because every morning when we wake up, we hope that it'll be a better day. We hope for change. You know, and I think that really, everything that she outlined in the rest of the poem kind of gets like, that hope takes over in that last 2 lines. So excellent job, and thanks for sharing that with us, Weaver. I think you did an excellent job.
Absolutely. And I feel like you took most of the words just absolutely out of my mouth, because I thought the same thing, you know, because there is so much truth to this, that children are born into a world where they're not allowed to stay children for very long, world of poverty. And I really liked this brevity all the way through. And I thought her opening lines really fit well with the picture, because you can see this slight, almost smile held in place on that child's face. I long to smile and laugh again, but that's a sign of weakness. In my 10 years, I've learned, look strong, be strong, or die, you know. But, and I like how it wraps up with the idea of waking up every morning and hoping that there will be a new day, and you know. So beautifully written, a wonderful expression of the poverty and the struggle of so many people around the world. And very well done. All right, and Sucker, your thoughts on this poem?
I really liked it. At first, I kind of still think the girl in the picture looks sad. I see the toughness, but it's like, for me, it's overshadowed by sadness. I grew up really poor, but I was never able to adopt an attitude of, like, looking strong or being strong. And I never caught a notion that there were other people out there like me. I always just thought everybody was okay. So it just really hits on how so many people are going through this. To me, it's almost like an inverse of what I experienced, except that I went to school and had shoes, and that I didn't really wake up each morning with a ray of hope. I don't know. I hate these wicked sociological problems.
You know what? I thank you for sharing with us and your thoughts. And no, I have to agree. To me, it's always been interesting how different places in the world like have different ideas of poor. You know, like being poor in America makes you so much richer than being poor in other countries, from other countries. So, yeah. But I'm glad you could relate to this poem. You know, I mean, that you liked it. I thought you had some great observations that connected with it. So, very well said. And up next we have Bantu Resolve by Gerald E. Green, and we have a recording for that one. Whenever you're ready, Gene.
Bantu Resolve. Written and read by Gerald Green. The spear of peace is handed down. Strong hands hold freedom's shaft. Fragility flourishes in its shadow. It's past honored by those with wrinkled skin. Strong voices celebrate by day. Ancestral courage glows at night. Tribal bonds support and boast of valor by strong warriors who've bled. Homage to the great creator, making harvest, feeding wives, shows respect to unseen gods among the valley tribe. Subjugation lies beyond the hill, waits impatiently, looking for a victim fearful of the spear. He holds the weapon, now his arbiter of peace, prepared to join the fallen ranks of those who sacrificed.
Wonderful read and write, Gerald. Thank you for the recording. It is very much appreciated. He always has such a nice reading voice. You know, one of the things I kind of wish I had done with this contest is put on by each picture, you know, where the person was from. So I'm glad to see that. I believe Gerald must have done a little bit of research. Either that or he's just guessing, but he seems like a very efficient person, so I could see that. I like how there is a sense of reverence and spirituality in this, that at the same time pays tribute to the strength and the warrior spirit. Strong voices celebrate by day, ancestral courage glows at night, tribal bonds support and boast of valor by strong warriors who bled, homage to the great creator, making harvest, feeding wives, shows respect to unseen gods among the valley tribes. And to end with the word sacrifice, I thought was powerful. I thought this really was a powerful rite, looking at a society that celebrates their gods, celebrates themselves, their strength, and their courage. And like I said, I really think there's a sense of pride within this rite that Gerald brings out beautifully. So a wonderful take on the chosen prompt, and very well done. And Jean, your thoughts.
Oh,
Yes, I thought this was very well done. A wonderful capture in his right. And I thought it was well penned and just an excellent job. There's so much in it. The spear of peace is handed down. Strong hands hold freedom shift. Fragility flourishes in its shadow. Its past honored by those with wrinkled skin. You know, that's such a wonderful capture, not only of the in the image, but everywhere. You know, everywhere, all of us. You know that honor has, you know, by those with wrinkled skin. That's a wonderful tribute to all of our ancestors. And I think again, you know, their strong voices celebrate by day. Ancestral courage glows at night. Tribal bonds support and boast of valor by strong warriors who bled. Just wonderful. I mean, I could go on to the next one again. I mean, this is just packed full of wonderful expressions of thought, you know, throughout. And I think that Gerald really did a nice job with it. And as always, yes, you're correct, ma'am. His audios are always so nice to listen to. But he has such a way about him. The way he reads is so direct. So that adds to the feel of the piece as usual. But this is just wonderful. And I think that I think he captured a lot in this piece. So nice work.
Absolutely. And I have to agree with you. Yeah, he captured a lot in these short, impactful lines. And I tell you, this has just been a great lineup of poetry tonight so far. I mean, I expect it will continue to be. But all right. Up next, we have Naked Skin by Cedar Chapman. And Jean, will you give that a read for us, please?
Okay, let me get back over there. I keep thinking I did something wrong because I'm knock on wood, but my computer's been refreshing all by itself tonight. I'm scared. Okay, this is
That's
Naked
scary.
Skin by Cedar Chapman. I know. That hasn't happened in months. But this is Naked Skin by Cedar Chapman. Look deep into my eyes, past my naked skin, bereft of cherry Revlon rouge, with only a smidgen of dirt blush streaking across my cheeks. Allow me to dress you in a wool robe woven by my mother and her mother before her, its fabric dyed with crimson clay and lapis stone, draping you with the spirit of 100 generations. Let the weight of your scant polka dot bikini be lifted from ravishing little boys and destroying little girls. You look down as the world turns, enslaved by the silicone gong of flashing emoji. Raise your eyes and watch the twinkling glitter and comet tails paint the midnight sky. Hold my hand and listen to the black-necked crane trumpet by the rustling tree line. Inhale the bonfire smoke that creep along the moonlit path to greet you at your yurt. I shun the waterfall of buffalo blood flowing from your long-barreled muskets. I do not learn how to enjoy a happy meal in the name of your crucifix. Lift me to hug, laugh, and weep with you. Gold and silver and rainbow beads are mere shiny colors to adorn our clothes, so we may dance the geba. Like sparkling stars of our elders, you are lost in your pile of plastic trees and styrofoam snow. Stay with me. Let me show you the way and home.
Wonderful read there, Jean. And what a beautiful write by Cedar Chapman. Sorry. You know, he wrote the same picture as Weaver, and it's great to see the different takes. This has wonderful imagery all the way through. His AN has some fun facts. The Geba is a folk dance practiced by women in Tibet. Lapis is a blue mineral rock often used in dyes. Black-necked cranes are native to Tibet. So I really like that he either already knew about or researched the culture. I love how he wrote this in the voice of the child, who is talking to someone from a more Western, you know, culture, like such as like if you think of somebody from America or perhaps even the photographer. But I get the impression of her talking to another woman, you know. And I like how there's this idea of let me dress you as my culture dresses. Let me show you the beauty of being connected with nature. And that's why I like the ending. You are lost in your pile of plastic trees and styrofoam snow. Stay with me. Let me show you the way. You know, there's such a wonderful idea of being guided by the not only the innocence of a child, but the innocence of a culture that isn't obsessed with getting everything fast and on the go. I like the mention of the allow me to dress you in a wool robe woven by my mother and her mother before her. It's fabric dyed with crimson clay and lapis stone, draping you with the spirit of 100 generations. I love that he brings in the idea of the history of the dyeing and the clothes making. And then the you look down as the world turns enslaved by the silicon gong of flashing emojis. Raise your eyes and watch the twinkling glitter. I really like how that part. And there's so much of this poem that I could quote that I like, but I'll finish off with this part, is the idea that we spend too much time looking at our screens and not enough time, you know, looking beyond them. So powerful, right? Beautifully written and very well done. And Jean, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Nathan, listen, I don't think that she was speaking to another woman. I think that this was put out in such a way that she was speaking to everyone. Just speaking to all of us in a certain way. And I could be wrong in the way I'm wording it, but I think that the things that were put out there were meant to make a statement to everybody. And I think that that was a very clever thing that Cedar did here. You know, I mean, allow me to dress you in a wool robe woven by my mother. I don't think she means anyone in particular. Just let me dress you as a whole. Let you. I want everyone to experience what I experienced, kind of thing. And it goes on again, you know. Where is this? Draping in the spirit of 100 generations. You know, removing the weight of that scant polka dot bikini, you know, from ravishing little boys and destroying little girls. Because that's not really what is important in life and society. You know, there's those suggestive outfits, those ideals. Where was the other one I saw? There was something else. You know, the beauty of hold my hand and listen to the black-necked crane, another experience that so many of us don't have a clue about. It's she wants to share her world and the thoughts in her world. Trumpet by a rustling tree line. Inhale the bonfire smoke that creep along the moonlit path to greet you at your yurt. And a yurt, I believe, is a type of, teepee is not the right word, but it's a home, and it's made of something, I don't know if it's animal skins or what it actually is now, but it's a tent that families live in different areas. And I think that is also amazing. I need not learn how to enjoy a happy meal in the name of your crucifix. You know, that's like just not an important thing. I mean, it's not about that happy meal. You know, it's about the what's the word I want? The simplicity of her life, and you know how important that is. Anyway, I think this was just spectacular, right? And I think that Cedar Chapman again has kind of come over with a the thoughts that he has given us all to share. So excellent job, Cedar, and thanks for sharing, as always. Great piece.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm done now. And set up.
No, I liked that. I liked how deeply you delved into that poem, and I have to agree with you that is an important message for everyone. So definitely well said there. Very cool. And up next, we have Preserves by Rain474 and Sucker. Will you give that a read for us, please?
Yeah. Preserves. Beauty of pride, botany of stride, covered with fauna, confined to woody lacuna, sparkled first in Jimmy's eyes with its serenity and natural beauty, cut off from the world so bright, yet shimmer with light of delight. Dawning on the life of caveman, they're far behind the new man, yet they preserve the core vibe. We and you forgot in transition jib. Putting on the shoes of artistic nib, Jimmy Nelson captures the old ribs, unknown to the progressive world, handful to lead their clan's hold. Presenting the world its true treasure, hidden behind the fields of pleasure, as life of simplicity kisses humanity, bearing fruits of profound potentiality. Tribal tree is the strongest key, guiding life to tradition, to traditional be, which Jimmy preserved as history, opening all that could have scummed in mystery. Art of photography yielded tribalography. Historians admire his contribution while world retires, fearing not extinction.
Great read there. Thank you very much. You know what would really help me, Sucker, if you don't mind, is when you get to the end of a poem, say end poem, because that kind of allows my
brain.
That's for me, because then I can, you know, be like, hey, he just finished the poem.
I see now. I did notice the pause, yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you, and wonderful read. And Jean, your thoughts on this?
You know, I thought this was a nicely written poem. I was trying real hard to figure out what prompt it was written to, with no luck, of course. But it was nicely written. I think it was a well-done piece. You know, I think maybe it was just written to Jimmy himself. You know, that's not unheard of. You know, I was trying to get an image to go with it. But, yes, it was nicely done, and it looks like she's captured a lot in this. You know, dawning on the life of cavemen, you know, core vibes, putting on the shoes of artistic nib, capturing the old ribs, unknown for the progressive world. Yeah, I think that that's really what it is. And I think that, I think it was nicely done. Nice work, Rain474. Absolutely. Yeah, I got a little lost. It's all right.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. And that's why I like to have, you know, people put in their AN, what prompt inspired them, even if it's just the general theme, because I'm one who usually doesn't mind if people just go with the general theme. It's just nice to know, you know. But, I liked the part that you quoted, and especially that line, Jimmy Nelson captures the old ribs. You know, I thought there was a lot of depth to that line. And I like how this is a tribute to the photographer himself, to his art, and to the capture of the indigenous people, presenting the world its true treasures hidden behind the fields of pleasure as life of simplicity kisses humanity, bearing fruits of profound potentiality. There's wonderful lines there. I like how it speaks on the idea that these photographs can connect us with people around the world that we had never thought of thinking about before. So wonderful, wonderful lines, and very well done. And up next we have Happy Family Smile Together by Rosewinter 515. And it goes like this. We are family true, mother and father, babies too, delightful and joyful. Our happy quartet is blissfully peaceful and gorgeously wrapped up in furs to keep them warm in freezing conditions. This is the way of the wild, where people have no alternative but to wear animal skins and furs to survive. In hostile environments, following in their ancestral footsteps, where life otherwise would be impossible. End poem. I really like this poem by Rosewinter 515. It's longer than she usually does, which I thought was cool. And I like that. And she wrote to prompt 35, which was the last prompt. It was actually a picture of an Inuit or Eskimo family wrapped, you know, in the, I forget what they're called, but they have the fur-trimmed hood and wonderful picture. I highly recommend that, you know, anybody gets a chance, check out the photography. But with this, I like how she goes from focusing in on the family, the joy, the smiles on the family's face, to mentioning, you know, the way they dress, and then bring it in to how throughout the generations they've learned to adapt and live in oftentimes hostile environments. I thought hostile environments was a great phrase, not only to describe how harsh the weather can be in some regions, but also a hostile environment to me can also mean the way other people treat people that they don't feel fits in, that are from, say, like an indigenous tribe, which is to me a very sad but poignant part. And I like also the line, ancestral footsteps. I think there's been a few rites tonight that has set on that same theme, the idea of following and learning from our ancestors. And I like that it's one of those things, that connect the family of mankind together. So just wonderful lines throughout and very well done. And Jean, your thoughts on this poem? Are you on mute?
Why, of course I was. Of course.
But of course.
Of course. I think that this was a wonderful take on the prompt. I went over and checked out the prompt while you were commenting. And I think that it was really just very well, it was a great reflection of the prompt. You know, some people, the areas they live in just call for the warm, warm clothing. And, you know, some people would say, it's animal fur. You know, people have lived like this for generations. And it's not like they just do it to waste it, because most people in those environments and those worlds, you know, don't waste anything. You know, they use the tallow for candles or, you know, light. They use the furs for warmth. They use the meat to eat. So, you know, there's a lot going on there with that image. And I think that it's, I think it was just really, really wonderfully done. So great job, and thank you so much, Rosewinter 515. Great job.
Absolutely. Great comment there. And let's see, what do we have next? All right. Up next, we have The Sand by Lockdown Lark. And Jean, will you give that a read for us, please?
I think I will. Give me 1 second. Yes, and I'm going to share what I just got with you later on. So, Lockdown Lark. Okay. Called The Sand by Lockdown Lark. As they walk the sands of time, do they thank the sun for being swim the oceans or mountains climb, who is grateful for all they're seeing? Mother, father, brother, sister, where they go, footprints left behind, until earth sends a wind's whisper to erase the memory of mankind. Whether traversing a desert or plain, does ego know what it's worth? Will they learn that to sustain requires that they are one with earth? As they walk their path of destiny, ever increasing is their yearning. They must all find affinity to gather in the sands of learning and home.
Wonderful read there, Jean, and a beautiful write by Lockdown Lark, who I have to say is probably one of my favorite rhyming poets in all poetry. Just really nice meter and flow to this. Okay, I just had to check suddenly if I was off mute, but I am. That's good. All right. I really liked this all the way through, but I especially like whether traversing a desert or plain, does ego know what it's worth? Will they learn that to sustain requires that they are one with earth as they walk their path of destiny, ever increasing in their yearning, but they must all find affinity together in the sands of learning. I like how this speaks on the idea of seeking and learning and connecting with the earth. So beautifully written and very well done. And Jean, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Thanks. I thought this was, as you said, great rhyme and meter to this piece. And I thought it was a great take on the prompt, and it was very well done. I have to say, I was drawn to the first two stanzas here. And I probably could have gone into the third and fourth as well, but, you know, I don't want to, like, take them all and just say, oh, that's the whole poem. I just ended on that line. But I like this. As they walk the sands of time, do they thank the sun for being? Swim the oceans or mountains climb? Who is grateful for all they're seeing? Mother, father, brother, sister, where they go, footprints left behind, until the earth sends a wind's whisper to erase the memory of mankind. Serious note that is kind of at the end of those two stanzas, you know, because they are walking in the sand, and all it takes is a breeze to blow the sand and erase those footprints. And that's really, really well said. I think that this prompt well. You definitely met this prompt well. So great job. Absolutely.
Yeah, I definitely have to agree. So, well said there. All right. And up next we have Cracks Sleep Deep by A.R. Mundell. And Sucker, will you give that a read for us, please?
A.R. Mundell, Cracks Sleep Deep. The downy fur imprints her skin, worn thin by years and years within. Pearlescent shores which stretch on wet with crack and crunch, not tide and ebb. Till summer's thaw, each cycle gone, where bays stuck water can move on to travel wide, exchanging tales with errant bergs and humming whales. Till winter's touch calls waves to keep, to settle back for their long sleep. She listens close to crackling seams which whisper tales within their dreams and gleans such wisdom from their gleams in poem.
Wonderful read there. And I really like that she was inspired by the prompt that was of the elderly Inuit woman in traditional dress, as she says in her AN. And there is something just, like, I feel like she definitely captured the wisdom and the joy. I don't know if joy is the right word, but there's a certain sense of contentment within the woman's expression. Another one with wonderful rhyme and flow. I like how she described not only the woman, but the world around her. Till summer's thaw, each cycle gone, where bays stuck water can move on to travel wide, exchanging tales with errant birds and humming whales. So she takes us through the different seasons that this woman sees, and the transition, and then also the communication with nature, with the whales, I thought was especially a strong part. So excellent write and very well done. And Jean, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think this is an excellent write as well. I think that the image that she chose, well, I don't know our AR man, Mundell. So I'm not sure. Amy. Okay, Amy, I feel much better now. The image that she chose, I really thought that she did, she spoke to it very well. I think that the different descriptions and the imagery throughout, I think, were really well done. I think the first stanza definitely speaks to the image itself. You know, the downy fur imprints her skin worn thin by years and years within. Pearlescent shores which stretch unwet can crunch, not tide and ebb. I thought that was a great take on just the image, but I also love these two stanzas reflecting the different seasons. You know, she pulled two. She took winter and summer, and I thought that was interesting. But I have to say I like the winter one. So winter's touch calls waves to settle back for their long sleep. She listens close to crackling seams, which whisper tales within their dreams, and gleans such wisdom from their gleams. I just thought that was, because when I looked at that image, I have that I got the feel of winter. And by her giving two to choose from, I kind of went with this one just based on the image itself. But I thought it was just a really nicely penned piece and a great reflection of the prompts. So great job, A.R. Mundell. Absolutely.
Yes, for sure. For sure. I have to agree. All right. And up next we have Fuma Dragon by Echoes. And it goes like this. Meet my steamy flame cigar, Rain, the Fuma Dragon. Trapping rapid acid wrapping to melt icy Earl Grey's, metal bark stirring with a flirty birthing of tree, rolling R-rated L's council of a thousand spells. Blood airy fairy constricts your bones and super soft cherry, your sweat kisses shed ideas boil down into eye-popping head, elder lips train your hips into a sacred ghost gnawing sip. You exhale the last fuma, and your mind, skull, ceases to exist. End poem. Now, this was definitely an intriguing write, and it's interesting that him and Betty Page chose the same image, and I can see the differences, and yet I can see similarities, too, because they just really dive into a kind of a sensuality, a strength, and almost like a mythological element to it. I really liked, you know, the trapping rapid acid wrapping to melt icy Earl Grey's, and elder lips train your hips into a sacred ghost gnawing sip. To me, that kind of speaks on the spiritual strength of femininity. So definitely intriguing imagery and beautifully written and very well done. And your thoughts, Jean?
Well, yeah, I agree with you. I thought it was very well done myself. I thought it was nicely penned. And it is funny that he and Betty both chose the same prompt, and they both have somewhat of an element of, word went right out of my head. I guess I'm done with that sentence. I just think I think it was good imagery throughout, and I think that they both represented something that I really didn't get from the image itself, But once they did it, I caught it. You know, I was like, okay, I can kind of see that. I'm still trying to think of the word. Damn it. you know.
Yeah, and I wish I could help you, but I think it's that time of the night where.
I know. It was.
But yeah, interesting. It's really interesting when. Yeah. What was that?
You know, it's a touch of passion in it. They both made references, like a passionate reference or a seductive reference, or you know, it had that running through it. And you know, when I first saw this image, I would not have thought to go that direction at all. But each of them did it, and both of them, in reading it, I went, okay. I mean, I could see where they would come up with it. So I thought that was pretty neat that they pulled that off and pulled that, drew that out of the image. And I think that's pretty interesting, actually. You know, it's just, to me, it didn't look like something simple or easy or, you know, just that I would have automatically gone to. And I think that they both brought something out of the image that I wasn't expecting to see, but I understand. And I thought that was pretty neat. So well done. Well done.
Yeah. And, you know, I have to agree with you because, you know, sometimes you look at a picture and the way you would have written to it is so totally different than what somebody else does. But it works because all of a sudden, like you said, as you're reading the poem, you suddenly, they give you the opportunity to see what they're seeing within it.
Right.
So.
Yeah, absolutely,
and very well done. All right, last poem for tonight, other than I do have another classic poem if needed, but is actually my poem, which is called The Ocean and Melodies of Generations. And within the horizon, the gods of sky and water play melodies of generations, connecting humanity with the ocean, a bounty of life, a people that gather a way known in gratitude we receive. Nature is both beautiful and temperamental. We must learn to accept and embrace her ever-fluid presence and be keenly aware of the rage held beneath her mirror surface, always willing to strike at any given moment. Thunder in the sky leads to crashing waves. But oh, how she blesses us from her depths as we glide upon the surface of her history and poem. And Jean, your thoughts?
It's a great piece, Pam. It's shorter than I expected from you. And I don't know why I say that, but, you know, it's amazing, just amazing. I loved it, the first six lines of this, without even thinking, you know, too hard into it. But the horizon, the gods of sky and water play melodies of generations, connecting humanity with the ocean, a bounty of life. You know, that's so true of so many cultures, you know, and so many peoples, you know, throughout the world. The ocean, you know, there's so much ocean surrounding so many areas that it is definitely a bounty of life, and keeps people alive fishing. And yes, I think that was wonderful. But I love the whole thing. You know, nature is both beautiful and temperamental. We must learn to accept and embrace her ever-fluid presence and be keenly aware of the rage held beneath her mirror surface. Wonderful imagery throughout, and just a great piece. And I think it's a great reflection of the prompt you chose. Very nicely done. Very nicely done.
Thank you. And there were so many different pictures of his photographs that I could have written to, but I decided that, you know what, I told them the other day, water has always been my element that I just connect with, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to write to that one. So I appreciate the comment, Dean. And I'll actually have us end with a classic poem, which we won't comment on, but it'll we'll end with that poem and then wrap things up. But I'm going to put up Unity Amidst Diversity by Andrew Yates. And Sucker, would you give that a read for us, please? Is Sucker still
okay.
with us?
Oh, yeah, sorry, I had that unlocked on my phone. Andrew Yates, Unity Amidst Diversity. Lo, the world is a symphony, and to each person their own part. In this musical arrangement of harmony, or simply life on a chart. Yet this symphony has something lacking. A variety of instruments is surely required. Thus the conductor obtains his backing as a movement of music is hastily acquired. And the orchestra plays on through the night, deeply moving the crowd in such awe as the vast ensemble proceeds in might. So it is in unity. Not a single flaw, for it is our humble prospect, solidarity in the human core, nothing less, nothing more.
Wonderful read there, thank you. I have to say, I just really enjoy delving into classic poetry, you know, and this one really just fits the theme so well, and the idea of mankind being an orchestra, you know, and each difference, the differences, the diversity that, you know, allows us to be one in an expression of joy and identity. So wonderfully written. Not that Andrew Yates is up in heaven caring what I think, but, you know, one just never knows. He could be. Right, Gene?
That's absolutely true. You never know.
Peeking over his cloud right now.
Oh, but, my God. Yeah, so excellent,
like
Chopin. Awesome talk.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you to Jean for, as always, being a wonderful co-host. Thank you to Thomas and Sucker for calling in. I appreciate you both. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the show, is listening now, or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you all, you know, and make sure everyone to check out the topic boards and contests put up by our late night poets, hosts and hostesses, because you're sure to find something to inspire. And we have three shows that you can join us for on tomorrow or today, depending on your time zone. Wednesday, we have the Keeping It Brief at 1 p.m. Eastern U.S. time. We have The Art of Seduction, 10 p.m. Eastern U.S. time. And we have a Headliners Ball and by at 12:30 a.m. Eastern U.S. time on Saturday. So make sure to check those all out. And anything that you'd like, more that you'd like to say, Jean?
No, I think that about sums it up. It's all good, and a great night tonight. Great poetry, everybody. Thanks for sharing, as always. It's always a pleasure. Thank you, Pam, as always, for being a twisted sister. And we'll have a good day tomorrow. Lots of good shows. So hope everyone will join in and give a call. Okay, and thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, that's about it. And thank you.